I'm not mistaken, I believe today is the yard site of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha. So I thought it would be appropriate to say Dvar Torah on the Parsha from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was a gadol sheb gadolim. He was a baki in kol haTorah kula, and very, very innovative thinker as well. And I want to share with you a Dvar Torah that he has on this week's Parsha that obviously is going to carry with it a message that's important for the Jewish people. The pasuk tells us that after a woman gives birth, Isha Kizazria, after she has a baby, if the baby's a boy, Ushloshim Yom Ushloshis Yamim Teshev Bidme Tara, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, Vela Migdash Lo Tavo, Ad Melosi Me Tara, that she's Tame for 7 days, then she has 33 days of Yimei Tahara, and she shouldn't touch or anything holy or go into the Mikdash until that process is complete. The whole process of Tahara is complete. She's going to have to bring Karbanos, and that will entirely complete the process, and then she'll be back to normal. So Rav Aaron raised like what is the most obvious question, but we wouldn't even think of it as a question because it's so ingrained in us that this is a reality of Halacha. His basic question is, what does Kedusha have to do with Tumah and Tahara? Why is it that when someone is Tameh, they're not allowed to go into the Migdash? You know, what's the opposite of Kodesh? So we say it on Havdalah, every Matzvah Shabbos. Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol. Kedusha is not the opposite of Tumah. The opposite of Tumah is Tahara. Tahara and Tumah are their own unit. Not every negative sounding word is exactly the same, and not every positive sounding word is exactly the opposite of every negative sounding word. Sometimes you learn with kids. I was learning with one of my younger children, and like he kept on getting confused between the word putter and tahar and mutter, and because those are all positive things, and but they don't mean the same thing. So just because something is kadosh, why is it a repellent of tuma? Why is it that tuma is not permitted in a makom kadosh? The entire nafkamina of something becoming tameh is that you're not allowed to bring it into kedusha, or someone who is tameh is not allowed to eat kadosh things. But what's the underlying connection between them? The connection again appears in Parshas Mitzora. The Torah tells us, "Vizartem es bnei Yisrael mitumasam, v'lo yemusu b'tumasam b'tamam es mishkani asher b'tocham." You should put Bnei Yisrael on guard against Tumah, lest they die through their Tumah by being mitame my Mishkan, that's bitochan, that's in their midst. So apparently the Tumah, again, relates to the presence of the Mishkan. And because there's Tumah, you got to be careful with the Mishkan. Tumah and Mishkan are a clash with each other. And throughout Sefer Vayikra, the Torah connects these two worlds. The worlds of Kedusha, Karbanos, and the world of Tumah and Tahara. Nida, Yoledes, Zav, Zava, Mitzora, all of the different types of Tumah. What is the connection between Tumah and Tahara on the one hand, and Kedusha on the other hand? So Rav Aaron suggested the following. Sometimes, in order to understand what something is, it's important to see what the misunderstandings are. Meaning, those who have a different philosophy, an incorrect philosophy, and through knowing what it's not, we can then define what something actually is. So he said, you know, the Jewish value, the Jewish view of Kedusha, the Jewish view of holiness, could be understood when contrasted with two other groups' views of Kedusha. You know, there are some that essentially are gores the existence of Kedusha. They think that there are certain things that are holy, there are certain things that are special, but they view it as almost like a magic, that there are forces of sanctity and impurity that are just inherent in the world. It was just created that way. But that they're embedded within the natural order. There are demons, there are evil spirits, but we don't make those demons or evil spirits. We don't create them, we don't affect them. They just are there. They just are because it's part of creation. That is not the Jewish view. Then there's another view, which is a more scientific view, which simply denies the existence of sanctity, of impurity. If you can't see it, If it cannot be seen in any physical way, it simply does not exist. It's all just a bunch of superstition. Things need to be described based on their physical qualities. If they cannot be described based on their physical qualities, they don't exist. And no object is therefore more kadosh, more sacred than any other object, because they're just objects. No place can be more sacred or holy than any other place, because it's just a place, and you can't see holiness. Therefore, holiness doesn't exist. So essentially, the scientific viewpoint is to simply reject these concepts entirely. We believe in neither of those things. We believe neither in the idea that they're just that kedusha is and sanctity exists and it just is, nor do we believe that it doesn't exist at all. Judaism believes that it does exist. There's such a thing as kedusha tara, tuma, chulin. But, and not only that, there's even a hierarchy of kedusha and tara. We disagree with this like magical approach that it emanates from the Bria, that it's just automatic. We believe that all Kedusha and Tara emanates from man, not from nature. Meaning, man creates Kedusha. What is a Kadosh item that you have to put in Seamus? Name me an item that would have to be you can't throw out because it has Kedusha. Svarim, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. How does that get its Kedusha? Who makes the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah? A person. What if the machine made it? Oh, then there's questions whether that has Kedusha. The machine has to be operated by a man. If it would happen by itself, it wouldn't have any Kedusha. It has to be made by man in order to have a Kedusha. A carbon even. Yeah, it's an animal. God made the animal. But not every animal is a carbon. What makes an animal and turns it into a carbon? How do you turn just stomp your goat into a carbon? You declare, you're makdish it. You declare it Kadosh. Man has to make something Kadosh. Of Soloveitchik writes that Har Sinai, the site of the most exalted event of all time, stands today bereft of any Kedusha whatsoever. We don't even know where it is. By contrast, the Har Habayis still has Kedusha. The Har Habayis, we still have to be very careful about. Why? Why did Har Sinai lose its Kedusha, but Har Habayis still has its Kedusha? Because who was Makdish Har Sinai? The Ribbono Shel was Makdish Har Sinai. That was just part of what he did. It's not what we did. We were Makdish the Har Habayis. In fact, the Shitas HaRambam in Sefer HaMitzvos is that the Kedusha HaMoedim, Kedusha of Yom Tovim, can only exist if there are Jews to declare it Kadosh. If you could imagine a world where the entire Jewish population just disappeared, God forbid, or fell asleep or something, then there cannot be Kedusha HaMoedim. It's Mekadesh Yisrael who are Mekadesh the Zmanim. Yisrael themselves are Mekadesh the Zmanim. And even nowadays, we do it with a shlichus of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, keeping the modern, the Rambam writes. And the same principle holds true with regard to Tumah. If that's true of Kedusha, it's true of Tumah as well. You might say, well, wait a second, Tumah is created by man? Yeah. Natural objects which haven't been touched or tainted by human hands whatsoever, live animals, plants, raw materials, are not susceptible to any sort of tumah. You know, the Torah describes behema tamea. What does the Torah mean when it says behema tamea? It doesn't mean tamei. It means a non-kosher animal. There's no such thing as a behema tamea. If it's a living animal, then it's not tamei. Only people and objects that are designated for human use, kelim, ochlim, mashkim, right? Those kinds of things can become impure. Not only that, Goyim can't become Tameh, because someone who's outside the realm of Kedusha cannot experience, take questions in a moment, cannot experience Tumah. Additionally, the process of Tahara, Rav Aaron points out, requires going back to the natural order. Someone who's Tameh, what does he do to avoid Tumah? Tumah can only happen when there's human involvement. So what do we do to solve Tumah? You can't go to a swimming pool because that's man-made. What do? A mayan, a mikveh, natural body of water, something that's just from pure rainwater. We go back to that which has not been affected by human beings. A kli cheres that becomes tameh. How are you matar a kli cheres that becomes tameh? Shatter it, break it down into its raw materials. It just becomes dirt again. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, that there is no iser to make yourself or even your food tameh. Even Kohanim are allowed to become Tame, save for Tumas Meis, except for Tumas Meis. They're allowed to become Tame with every other kind of Tumah. It's just that they have to make sure that Truma doesn't become Tame. They have to make sure they don't eat Truma while they are Tame. They have to make sure they don't go into the Beis HaMikdash while they are Tame. Meaning, Tuma itself is not the problem. Tuma itself is a result of human involvement in the negative. And there, that's the clash of Tuma and Kedusha. Kedusha comes when a human being does something and elevates something, elevates what God has put here on this earth. Tuma comes when a human being comes and downgrades something that's here on this earth. So it's true, Kedusha and Chol are opposites, because Chol means something that we have not yet been Mekadesh. It's just something that God put here, but we have not yet been Mekadesh. It's a regular day, it's a regular place, it's a regular item. When we elevate it, it becomes Kadosh. Tuma and Tara, Tara is the absence of Tuma. Tuma is when we downgrade that which God put here on earth. And maybe with that connection, we understand a little bit of what these psukim are talking about. A woman who's during the process of becoming tahar is not allowed to go into the mikdash, is not allowed to touch anything kadosh, because introducing tuma into dvarim kadoshim adversely affects the mikdash. It's two opposites. They're working in different directions. And even the pasuk in Mitzora that we said, it's a different problem, that Bnei Yisrael have to be careful not to become Tamei, lest they become Tamei through lest they die by making the Mishkan Tamei. Bnei Yisrael are told you have to avoid bringing Tumah into the Mikdash, lest they die. Bringing Tumah into a world of Kedusha will directly harm us. And maybe the message of this idea is that, you know, if one does not have potential for Kedusha, if one does not have potential to achieve a super high level of sanctity, so they can live their lives in the gray area. They can sort of, you know, not go too far in one direction or the other and sort of be pariv kind of people. But when one has the capacity for Kedusha, which a Jew has, a Jew is given the capacity for Kedusha, a Jew is also given an increased capacity for Tumah. We cannot live life in the gray area. You know, Klal Yisrael is such, our makeup is such, that we are either achieving and accomplishing Kedusha, or we are falling into an abyss of Tumah. And it doesn't happen by itself. We have mitzvahs that we have to do, we have standards that we have to live up to in order to achieve Kedusha. You know, in a world where things are supposed to come easier and easier, and things can come instantaneously, Kedusha still can't. To achieve Kedusha, I was just talking to one of the Talmidim who was saying how, like, you know, he's trying out different shiurim, and he was saying, like, an hour and 15 minutes. It's just like an hour and 15 minutes straight of shiur. It's a long time. Like, how do you focus for an hour and 15 minutes? And I said, I was talking to recently, to Menahel in a different yeshiva, and he was saying that in the yeshiva that he's in, they say shiur for an hour and a half, and the guys are totally bugging out. They just can't do it. So they want to knock it down to an hour and 15, like we have over here, but he's afraid the Rebbeim, there's going to be a mutiny amongst the Rebbeim, like, you know, Bittul Torah, how can you do it? And I found it so interesting, you know, Rav Soloveitchik used to say shiur, you know, for what, 3-4 hours at a time or something. When I was in Rav Shachter Shir, so we already had a Yerida Sedaros, so it was 2 hours, 12:45 to 2:45 every day, 2 hours of Shir. And I could say in all the years I was in Shir, never once put my head down. For 2 hours each night, I can't say that I was focused for 2 hours every single day, but never once put my head down. And I was thinking, like, it's true, our attention spans are different. It's the whole, you know, if you can't give me the halacha in 10 minutes, I guess I'll never learn halacha. You know, like, it's like a whole, it's the whole movement is in that direction. But it's somewhat depressing, because one can't become a Talmud Chacham in short spurts. You know, when I'm feeling it, when I'm feeling the inspiration, you know, I'll sing a song and I'll learn for 10 minutes. Like that you can't actually accomplish something. You can't actually become a Talmud Chacham. It requires a great deal of work. We have a profound responsibility to ourselves to achieve through Kedusha. And it's not easy. It's not easy on the Asei Tov side. It's also not easy on the Sur Meira side. You know, we're approaching summertime, which is a time where Kedusha is under assault during the summertime. You walk in the streets and there's a constant assault on one's sense of Kedusha. And it's not easy. It's not easy to maintain a proper sense of Kedusha. It's an achrayus, it's a responsibility. But we have that great responsibility because we're not allowed to be in that gray area. I think they quote, Rav Huttner, I think, writes in a letter that the greatest isser in the Torah is to be a Beinoni, you know, to be someone who's like sort of neither here nor there, not passionate about anything, not to this, not to that, lukewarm. No, it's better to be a Rasha because a Rasha at least has energy. So that way, all you need to do is channel him, divert the direction in which he's going, and all that energy could be applied somewhere else. But a Beinoni is just a nothing. We have that. We are all that. Because that's what a Jew is. A Jew is someone with capacity for great Kedusha, and a Jew is someone with capacity for great Tumah. And the harder we work on achieving that Kedusha, the greater our chances are of seeing that we can accomplish way more than we would ever think possible. I was just listening to a Musar Shmuz from Moshe Weinberger. He was talking about like how people sometimes are able to accomplish superhuman feats. Why? Because they view it as their responsibility to do so. That they have a responsibility to do it. If I have an achrayus to do it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me the siyata deshmaya to do it. He told the story about a family that I know. He didn't say the name of the family, but I'm sure I know who it is. A family in a shul that has four of their own children, and all the children are already adults and married and have their own children. And this should be the time in life where this family is like, you know, taking it easy, where the couple is enjoying the nachas from the grandchildren and just, you know, thank God the father has a good job and whatever, you know, just relax and everything should be, you know, that this should be the time for them. But a number of years ago, Ohel called them and said, you know, we have this little girl whose parents can't take care of her. The father's a drug addict and the mother's in jail, and whatever the situation was, and they can't take care of her. Can you maybe serve as foster parents? And one thing led to another. They were foster parents, and they adopted her, and they've been taking care of her. And now this family, at that stage in life, is taking care of a 12-year-old who's got all sorts of issues, because of course she has all sorts of issues, based on where she comes from, based on everything that she's been through. And Rabbi Weinberger said that he asked them, you know, do you regret it? Do you ever regret it? You know, this is a time in your life where you could have, and without even blinking an eye, the guy said, absolutely not. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us this opportunity. That means it's our achrayus. The Ribbono Shel Olam put a Jewish child in our lap. So it's our achrayus, take care of the Jewish child. Ah, bal achrayus like that, to view life as a responsibility. Not to view life as what's the easiest way to get around. You know, I always tell people, if you have, the difference between boys and girls, you know, if you have, and there are lots of differences between boys and girls, I'm not going to go through like the basics, but if you have like sons and daughters, the attitudinal difference in the way they approach schoolwork, right? So if a girl has a lot of work to do, what does she do? She does it. She works. She may cry, she may whatever, but she gets really intense and she works. A boy has a lot of work to do, he'll put in the same amount of time, but he's not using his time to do the work. He's using his time to figure out how to get around the work, right? To figure out a way. How can I do it in such a way where I won't have to do the work? And that's something we sort of, it's I don't know why, it's ingrained in us. It's ingrained that I always come with the chav that we're not going to have to do it. But that's not the way we're going to achieve Kedusha. The way to achieve Kedusha is not to figure out what's the chap, you know, what's the chap that I can get around having to spend hours in learning and in mitzvahs and nice and tovim and achieve. No, there are no shortcuts. At the end of the day, we're not going to be a tzaddik and we're not going to be a talmid chacham unless we really work at something. And that's our job. That's ultimately our achrayus. And that's how a person avoids the tumma that we're going to be assaulted with over the next several months, even though it's a wonderful time when the sun finally comes out, and it's a great time, but we also have to realize that it's going to be a lot of hard work to retain a sense of Kedusha.